There's a somewhat well-known purgatory shrine that has a stone that is emanating radiant heat because what most people do not know, in fact, all the people that I ever met do not know about that stone, is that Our Lady actually stood on it. John Paul Moreau, a modern-day Canadian purgatory mystic that I've interviewed before, I'll link that interview at the end, had this revealed to him by Jesus Christ. It was so hot he couldn't even touch it. I've actually been there before and touched it, and like many different shrines, you go and you have no clue how holy it is. An example of this is a miraculous metal shrine in Paris, France, that actually has the chair that Our Lady sat in for 3 hours when she was having her conversation with St. Catherine Labre. Most people see it, they don't know that's what it is. I'll also include a few other stories in this little bit. An experience that he had with the souls in purgatory, as well as an incredible miraculous encounter that he had with a raccoon of all animals, a story that you're not even going to believe. Again, the book is called Please God, What's the Answer, that he's promoting and shares many of these stories. I'll link down in the description. Please enjoy.
You know Our Lady of Knock?
Yeah.
And now, do you remember the big rock where they said she stood on?
I think so.
Well, there's a big rock there that they showed us. And I don't know why, but Jesus will do this every once in a while to show me what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing is really true. So that big rock, my wife comes and I see her touching it and everything else. So I said, well, I'm going to touch it too. It's supposed to be where Mother Mary was standing. And I can't put my hand on it. It's that hot. I cannot put my hand on it. I tried 3 times. So all of a sudden I step back and I'm thinking, well, I just saw my wife put her hand on it, you know, and that other person. Well, there comes my mother-in-law and she's walking over and she touches it with both her hands and she's holding her hands on it. I go up and I'm looking at her. I said, is it not hot? She said, oh, no, she goes, it's cool. It's kind of cold. So I wait till she leaves and I go to put my hands on it again. I can't touch it. I'm talking 180 degrees. I can't touch the rock. And I went back. I said, what's going on? I can't touch the rock. Like, you know, like it's on fire. Everybody except me touched the rock. It took me a while. I prayed. And that was exactly what I said. Jesus said to me, he says, I just want to let you know. My mother really stood on that rock. Oh, just what amazing, amazing.
It's an incredible thing because that, you mean it's like this piece that's on the wall, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Because it's interesting because, like, you know, I think like as humans, we are, if something's far away and behind three glass things and there's a lock and key, then we think it's special. But yeah. If it's like available for everyone to touch, oh, there's nothing. It's not a big deal. It's unimportant. Don't worry about it. But I think that's just to kind of go to show that's that like piece of rock that's there, like for people there in Ireland to not underestimate it, to think, hey, that thing is emanating like hot healing grace and all types of things.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like I know he did that with me in Medjugorje as well the first time I went. Especially, like I know we shared about the souls before and stuff, but when some of the souls show up for people to help them, it's just amazing. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know what your grandfather wore. I don't know if your grandfather smoked. I don't know nothing, right, about your grandfather. But yet, when I'm out with people, if God allows it, and these souls show up, what an impact on the people that have been grieving for 6 months, 3 years, 10 years, that you know, that loved them and their loved ones, and always wondered.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting you bring that up. At the end of this month, I'll be doing with these other two friends up in upstate New York and this priest, we're going to do a like a generational healing / kind of generational reparation retreat that's about that, about learning about patterns of sins in your life and praying for for those in your family in purgatory that maybe suffered from those as well, to kind of, to sort of perpetuate the healing sort of backwards and forwards, and just the importance of that when we pray for them, just the idea, when you think about it, it makes sense that if you have a family member that enters heaven or gets higher in purgatory, it's like if you have a family member on earth that something incredible happens or quote wins the lottery, I mean the whole family benefits
Right, exactly.
in all types of ways that you wouldn't at first see.
Yeah, it's amazing what you just said because just before we went to England, my grandmother showed up, my mère, and in my dream, there's somebody else with her. I don't know. I know the person, but I don't know who they are. And she asks me for a mass because she wants to give it to him. Or her, whoever it is, right? And I said, "Oh yes, Mamir, yeah, no problem. I'll get you a mass. I'll get you a couple masses." And then 3 days later, I think it was 3 days later, or 3 day novena out of Medjugorje, Mother Mary says to get masses for your loved ones and your deceased ones. And I thought that was amazing. I said, "Oh, that's pretty good." Well, then we're over in England, and Father Michael gets a word from my wife Anna, and he says to her, he says, "You know, we're praying together." And he says, I keep getting this name, Agnes." And my wife looks at him. She says, "That's my grandmother." And right away, I knew. I said, "Lord Jesus, I heard you loud and clear." I said, "Get her some masses." So how amazing is it that they can take those masses and give them to somebody that needs them?
Yeah.
Our God is so good. So good. And like you're saying, you're going to be praying for the souls and for the family, tree, which is what we've been talking about for the last couple of days here. That's what we want to do. Like my brothers, my sisters, we've all been talking, and it's because who knows, like I said, 7 generations, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it I mean, I always like to use kind of like just physical metaphors because it makes it then so obvious spiritually that if incredible things happen to different family members, especially if there's you're in any type of relationship with them, like you're on good terms basically, it's you benefit. It just kind of like if you own stock in a company and it does well, you get kickback, you kind of share in the wealth. And spiritually it's even more profound, like how we're connected. It's just hard for us to really believe. We kind of think a little bit too much like we're just an island, that what they did doesn't impact us. Yet whatever they did that was good, we benefit from. Maybe we have certain gifts and traits that are good because of things that they prayed for,
Yeah, exactly. No, it's so I'm all excited about my book. So just say a prayer for me and everybody that's watching. If you say a prayer for me, if God willing, I would love to go around the world with my book. And what I want to do is anything I make from the book, I already have a friend that's going to help me start a nonprofit. And at the end of the year, I'm giving the money away to another charity or whoever needs it. Right now in our area, we have quite a few homeless people here living here. And there's a place called The Grind, St. Vincent de Paul, and there's St. Joseph also that helps them, feeds them, and everything. And I wasn't, when I first did this, I wasn't going to charge anything for the book. But I prayed about it and prayed about it, and God kept putting it on my heart that no, it says in the Bible that if a man does an honest day's work, he should get an honest day's pay. So when I read that, I said, "Okay, Lord Jesus, do you want me to charge something for the book?" And then when we came up with this number, I said, "Well, okay, well, what?" And right away it come, "No, just give it away at the end of the year. Like, it's not mine anyways, it's his book, it's Jesus's book." So the thing is If this works out the way I'm praying that it does, I'm hoping at the end of the year I can help all kinds of charities out.
That would be really amazing.
It'd be really amazing. Because God's been so good to us, so good to us.
When do you
Well, thank
anticipate that the people will be able to, like, for instance, I don't know how it's going to be distributed, like on Amazon or something like that, or.
Yeah, it is on Amazon. So you can buy it there.
Yeah.
It takes a, they just if an order comes in, it takes a couple of weeks for them to make it. That's how it works.
Okay.
And then they would send it out. But yeah, it is on Amazon there now. Which is amazing. I have already been asked to go to a couple places and bring my books and give a testimony, and then just at the end of the thing I'll sell my books or whatever. So it's starting to happen, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, because I'm waiting a long time for this. And all the glory is going to God. All the glory goes to Him because it's His book. In the Old Testament, and I wanted to look before we had this interview, where the donkey talks to his master.
Yeah.
Okay. You know that Saint Francis talked to the animals? Well, that's you're going to know why I sent you that picture there now when I tell you this story. So this is, I don't know, 5 years ago, maybe more. I'm in Pembroke. We live in Westmeath. Pembroke's half an hour away, and I'm there with my older brother and a friend of ours, Richard, and we're talking about God, sitting out in the truck in front of Tim Hortons, which is a coffee shop, okay? And we're talking about God the whole night. And finally, I look and I go, "Oh!" I said, "It's 10:30." I said, "I gotta get going." I said, "I gotta go to work tomorrow." And I said, "My wife's gonna already be in bed." So I start driving home. I take out my rosary, okay? I take out my rosary, and I start saying my rosary, and I put my Christian music on real low, real soft. And now this doesn't happen all the time, Alvaro. It doesn't happen all the time, but there are times when it does. And I heard Jesus, like we're talking right now. "I want to talk to you." I said, "Oh, okay." So I drive a little bit farther, and again, he says, "I want to talk to you." I said, "Oh, okay." So he said, "Turn off the radio." I turned off the radio, but I was almost done my decade of beats. And he says, "I want to talk to you." I said, well, I'm almost finished." So I said, "Okay, never mind." So I put my rosary back in my pocket. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Okay." And here's what he said to me. He said, "What do you own?" So I thought about it for a minute. And Alvaro, I own a lot of stuff. Well, Jesus owns a lot of stuff. I just happen to be using it. I said, "Lord Jesus, I own nothing. Everything that I have is yours." I drove a little bit farther. Same question again. "What do you own?" I said, "Lord Jesus, I own nothing. My houses, my tractors, my backhoes, everything is yours." Okay? I drive a little bit farther. "What do you own?" So I look at God. "Lord Jesus, I own nothing. I own nothing. Everything is yours." Then he said, "Can you give me your all?" And I drove a little ways. And I said, "Lord Jesus, wait now. What are you asking me? Can you give me your all?" I said, "Well, Lord Jesus, if you're talking about me, I'm all in. But if you're talking about my wife or my kids," I said, "I can't go through that again. I gave you a little girl." Imagine she talks to my little girl. "I can't do that again." And again, I drive a little bit further. And again, he says, "Can you give me your all?" And I said, "Lord Jesus, I don't know. Like what you're asking me, like if it's just for me, I'm all in. You got me. But I don't know about my wife, and I don't know even know if I can give you her. Like, she got her own free will, and my kids and everything." Well, Alvaro, we're driving now at least 20 minutes to get home. And that's all he keeps saying. "Can you give me your all? Can you give me your all?" Now I'm starting to drive a lot faster. I'm trying to get home quicker. I said, "Lord Jesus, look it. You know I'm a dummy. I don't know what you're asking me. But when I get home, my wife, she's really smart. She'll know what you're asking me. Now, Alvaro, I'm telling you, I'm driving. Oh, I'm flying now. It's not far from where I am to get to my driveway, okay? I come up this hill, and as I fly over the hill, a raccoon runs out in front of me. You can show them the picture later what a raccoon is. And I don't hit him once, I hit him twice. And I'm all mad. I back up my van, I put the lights on, the full moon's out. I put the lights on this raccoon. I walk over, and the poor thing is suffering. He can't breathe, his tongue's hanging out. He's trying to pull himself off the road, he can't move. The one eye was totally closed. And he's dying. Well, now I'm upset. Lord Jesus, look what I did. If I wasn't such a dummy and I knew what you're asking me, I wouldn't have been driving so fast. And all of a sudden, I remember I got holy oil in my door. I might have been from St. Joseph's Oratory. I can't remember, but I got holy oil in my door. I go get the holy oil. I start pouring it on the raccoon. And then nothing's happening. I'm getting upset, more upset. I said, Lord Jesus, what am I supposed to do? Look at this poor animal. He's suffering. He's dying. You know, should I kill him? You want me to throw him in the ditch? What do you want me to do? I pour some more oil on. I start praying some more. Start calling God. Nothing's happening. Finally, the third time, I take the whole bottle and empty the whole bottle on of holy oil. I go back to my van. I put the holy oil in the door and I start screaming. What do you want from me? What do you want? I don't know what to do. I can't do nothing without you. Nothing. Alvaro, you're not going to believe this. I'm going to say to the listeners that are going to be listening to this, is this is going to be hard to believe. It really is. In that instant, something came up inside me. I felt it rise up inside me and it dropped back down. I could feel it come right through my whole body and it dropped back down. In that instant, the raccoon jumps up and sits on the ground. And he's looking at me. And then he starts to run. Well, I start to run. I'm running around the van and talking to the raccoon. Stop, stop. I said, wait a minute. Now, the raccoon, I know I hunt. When you wound an animal or you hurt, they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop and talk to you. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
The raccoon from about 8 feet stops, turns around, sits down, and he's looking at me right in my eyes. I'm looking at him. I said, okay, wait now, wait. I said, are you okay? Did Jesus just heal you? Did a miracle just happen? The raccoon looks right in my eyes and he goes, yep.
Really?
Honest to God, yep. So the raccoon starts running across the field. The full moon's out, and I can see him far. Oh, far, Alvaro, like 250, 300, 400 feet. I can still see him running. Well, I'm bawling my eyes out. I can't even hold myself up. Now, just think about what I just said. He was dying. He's done. I know I killed enough animals. I know he was done. But out of Jesus' love, out of Jesus' mercy, he knew I didn't mean to do it. Knew I was upset. Brought the raccoon back to life. And you know what amazes me? Because I thought of it, I don't know how many times I replayed this whole thing in my mind. You know that raccoon was running as fast as he could run. Like, I mean fast, Alvaro. He's flying across that field. You know why? He was going home to tell his mom and dad. And his brothers and his sisters. That's what he was doing. He was running home to say, hey, some red-headed crazy guy ran over me. Then he started yelling at this Jesus guy. And he said, next thing I know, I'm walking. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine, Overo? That's how it should be. That's how we should be. I mean, people get miracles. I see people get miracles all the time. They don't say nothing. They don't even know it's a miracle.
Now,
Oh.
that is a lesson.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Big time lesson. Big time lesson. How many times do people have miracles happen And they say, well, yeah, I guess so. And they don't tell nobody. And here's this little raccoon running home to tell his whole family, his neighbors, everybody. Jesus healed him.
It's like this one priest I know would say, he would say, it's like a, we treat Jesus like contraband, you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't say anything. Keep it quiet. You
Yeah.
know, like smuggle the drugs secretly,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
don't say
Yeah.
anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So to all your listeners that are going to be listening, how much more does Jesus want to do for you? How
Yeah.
much more? If Jesus would bring back a raccoon for me, how much more will he do? You know, and he loves us that much, that much. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I think we need to think about these things a lot, and I think become much more convinced of how much God is and wants to continue talking to us. And then I think we need to start talking about the miracles that he's done in our lives. I think we need to remember those and just tell people,
Exactly.
plain and simple.
Exactly. And but you're right though, you know, especially here where we live. The Catholic Church has always been quiet. Don't say that. Like I've heard of miracles over the years that people have told me and that we're told not to tell them what. You know, and you wonder why. You wonder why. I know they got to check everything, they got to make sure, and you got to triple check, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
But that's normally only if you're going to publish it in a book that's going to be in a seminary. But if you're just going to tell your neighbor, you don't need the bishop's approval, you know? Like, or something like that, you know, unless something's going to be held up and documented inside of a church building. But if it's our daily lives, like, we're not in communist China. We have not only do we have a right to, we have like a, I think, obligation under the pain of sin to share the things that God does in our lives, you know, that, and not only do we not need someone's approval, like, it's a sin to not share. Like, just like it's like a sin to, you have the money and someone's starving and you're not sharing. I mean, that's, you don't need to check in with anybody,
No, exactly.
you know,
Exactly. Exactly.
you're obligated to tell people.
I just heard of a couple of miracles that's that when Sister Breach was younger, because her cousin showed up at this place that we were, and he was talking with us at breakfast where we were staying. And he said when he was a young boy, he used to go to the show theater. And the man there would let him in all the time for free. And he says the man was blind, he couldn't see. Well, he heard that his cousin was coming, Sister Breach. And so he told the man and the wife, and he says, you know, you should go. You should go see her. Well, he goes, and the next day he can see. Just like that. And then he was telling me, and I know these aren't in her book because I have her book here. I read them, I don't know how many times. And it's called Miracles Do Happen. So then he was telling me that when he got older, he was about 8 years old or so, his good friend was born without a voice box, couldn't talk. And again, he heard Sister Breach was going to Ireland. So he went over and he told the parents, you should go, you should bring him. And they did. And that night, the boy starts talking. It's like I know they all say Sister Breach has a gift, which she does. She you know she has a gift of healing, but it's Jesus that's doing the healing. It's Jesus. All she's doing is asking God to heal the people. That's pretty amazing. You know, it's pretty amazing. She always does it with the Eucharist. Because God is right there, and that is amazing. It's amazing. Our God is so good.
I think
So
it's important for us to remember that the person that, yeah, like the one that gave her the gift and that she's asking for the healing, we're in relationship with him. You know, it's like we have his number too. You know, if you want to put it that way, it's not like we have his number, we have his address, you know, we have an open communication. We just have to, I think we just have to put it out there a little bit more.
No, it is amazing.
Well, I'm super happy that you got to be able to come and share these incredible things, and I can't wait to get your book. I've been waiting for it. So,
Yes, I'm hoping it should be here soon.
yeah.
It was we had a little bit of problem sending out these books, so I knew that right away that was down to me. But right now, from Canada, you can't mail to Spain, you can't mail to England, you can't mail to Ireland. And to mail to you, so we had to download an app and take a picture of every book and show what, and everyone had to have its own code card, whatever you call that.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I think next time, I think I'll just drive over to the States. It's not that far from us.
Yeah,
Make sure
it
you have
probably
the
would
hook
act literally save you time to just drive over the border, you
and
know,
mail them. Yeah.
see a few things, mail the books.
No, so Jesus done some miracles through me and my wife even, for people, you know, which is amazing. Not a whole lot or nothing. And you know, I like, that's one thing that, you know, I whoever asks me, I pray with them. Or, you know, or sometimes he'll tell me who to pray for. And a lot of times nothing happens. But then you don't know, because he taught me that the biggest miracle is the inner miracle, the one you don't see. And we've just seen so many in this last couple of years where he does just a little thing for that person, and it touches the person so much, changes their life. You know, like I say, it's not a physical healing, but it's better than that.
Yeah.
It was like they were hurt when they were young, or they lost a loved one, or stuff like that. And it's just, it's amazing what God will do for his people, for his kids. It's amazing.
It's amazing. I really know that this is gonna help grow faith in a lot of people. You know, and the more faith that people have out there, it just has a ripple effect. You see some of that right now, that people are here in the States are coming back to the church, especially young people, I think, because of social media. And it's like a wave that's coming. Hopefully it'll keep growing.
Yes. Yeah, I
And
hope so too.
it's, you know, and social media is all about it's like it rewards sharing stuff. You know, the crazier the story, the better. So it's almost like a it's a good thing. Getting us out from being just quiet. So I really hope that has an impact on people.
Yes. Alvaro, hang on for one sec. I just want to actually did this sooner. There. That might be better. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just noticed myself and it's getting pretty dark.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing,